All right, brethren, Psalm 119. I had this written, and it's interesting that Rob just said that. Psalm 119 holds the very best practical instruction for those that are born of the Spirit of God. It's some of the wisest practical instruction. This is true spiritual practice in real time. In real time. Spiritual heart practice in the midst of suffering. Those that have been born again of the Spirit worship in newness of spirit. We once thought that life was by our hand, and we once thought our outward practice was our life, and that was how we were going to be saved. Our worship's no longer in the letter of the word. Now, the Lord, by His Spirit, has made us to know true life, and true worship is in spirit in the new heart. It's a union between Christ and that new man He's created within you. It's where you worship God. Now, bodily exercise does profit a little, but it's in the new spirit within us that the Lord quickens and keeps quickening, keeps teaching, keeps giving strength, establishing our heart in Him. So in all our trials, the Lord is teaching us. He's teaching us that heart communion that's given to us from our Lord Himself by Him speaking the word into our new spirit, that is our chief need. That is our chief need. You notice here in verse 81, David says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation. I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word." Now look who he's talking about here. Saying, "When wilt thou comfort me?" He wants the Lord Himself to speak and comfort him. He says in verse 88, "Quicken me." He's speaking to the Lord. "Quicken me." He's asking the Lord, "Quicken me. After thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." So I'll hear the witness, God says, of His Son, and I'll keep that testimony. I'll believe that witness. God is born in my heart of His Son. Look back at verse 50. He said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." It's Christ Himself speaking the word into the Spirit, unseen, unheard by natural man, in spirit, and that's our strength. Now, the first thing that we're always going to learn, whether it's the first time the Lord afflicts us and He's teaching us the gospel, or whether it's in any affliction, He always brings us to see this over and over again. And this is what we've seen with David here over and over again. He's going to bring us to see we do not have any strength in ourselves. None in ourselves. If David could quicken himself, he wouldn't be asking God to do it. He said in verse 81, "My soul fainteth." He said in verse 82, "Mine eyes fail." He said in verse 83, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, black, sooted, dried up." He said in verse 85, "The proud have digged pits for me." In verse 87, he said, "They had almost consumed me upon earth." He didn't have any strength. He had no ability. Now, first of all, to understand how entirely we depend upon the strength of God alone, we need to hear that this is, first of all, our Lord Jesus speaking when He walked this earth. And He entirely depended on the Father. He entirely depended on the Father to be His strength. Now, when that hour drew near, this is what our substitute said.
He said in John 12:27, "Now is my soul troubled." Troubled. That's what he's saying in our psalm. And he said, "Now what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." And then came there a voice from heaven and said, "I've both glorified it and will glorify it again." His strength was the Father. He depended on the Father. Our Lord could work miracles. Our Lord could do powerful things that only he could do as the God-man. But he even trusted the Father to draw people to him. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." He trusted the Father to do that when he walked this earth. And by that he's teaching you and me, we have to trust him now that he's in glory. But in the Garden of Gethsemane then, he said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." Just like here he said, "My soul fainteth." He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came to the disciples, and he found them asleep, and he said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. Why? That you not enter temptation." That says you need God to keep you. And he expressed to them what he was experiencing in our flesh, though he knew no sin. He expressed to them, this was his word to them when they're falling asleep there and could not even watch and pray with him at such a critical hour. He said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is weak. Our Lord knew that. We can hear our Savior pray to the Father on the cross right here in our psalm, verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation." Hear him on the cross. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation. I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I'm become like a bottle in the smoke." This refers to those skins that held wine or water, the wine skins they carried. They hung them up in their tents, and the smoke from the fires in their tents would turn them black. And if they didn't have much in them, then they would wither and they would become dried up. Look over at Psalm 22. Verse 14, this is the Lord speaking. He said, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd." That's an earthen vessel, but it dried up like a potsherd. "My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death." Verse 19, he said, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me." The Lord, as the servant of God, entirely depended on the Lord God, his Father, to be his strength. And he suffered and he redeemed his people. And the Lord God fulfilled the covenant word to him and raised him from the grave. And look what he says in verse 22, Psalm 22:22. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. He heard. So our righteousness, brethren, is the Lord Jesus, and our strength is the Lord Jesus. Life is in the inward man, created of the Spirit of God and the new birth. But that life of the new man is not us. It's not of us. We can't quicken it up. We can't stir it up. That life of the new man is Christ our life. And he quickens by his word, blessing it to our heart, speaking into our heart by the Spirit. And he is our strength. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. Mine eyes fail for thy word. David experienced soul fainting, soul exhaustion. His eyes failed for looking and watching for the Lord, probably from weeping. And David knew he had no strength but the Lord. Spurgeon said, "Oh man, you know not yourself nor the power of temptation if you're dependent upon yourself. You will be as readily blown away as the thistle down upon the plain when the north wind is raging. Trust not in yourself for a moment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." Now that is some as practical as it gets. We're wrong here. We're going to be wrong on it all. David said, "I'm become like a bottle in the smoke." They hung those wineskins on a nail in their tent. And that smoke coming up would just cover them in soot, and they would turn black, and they would dry, and they would shrivel. And that's how he felt, sooted. His strength was dried and gone. In other places in the scripture, when the Lord speaks of the skin being black, it's from famine, being unable to eat because of sorrow and affliction. But our Lord doesn't put new wine in old wineskins. He's created a new man within his child, and he's filled us with the Spirit. The smoke of the trial is not going to enter into the new man. It will mortify the flesh, and it will make the flesh appear as what it is, black and strengthless and sooted. And it'll mortify all our self-confidence when we see it. But it's doing good to the inner man, to the new man. The Spirit of Christ is dwelling within, and he's going to quicken us inwardly by his grace, and that's where he's going to do you some good. Even during the trial, when we faint, and the indwelling Spirit of our Lord, he's going to keep you fastened on him. He's the nail in a sure place. And he's going to keep you fastened on him. His grace inwardly is going to keep us hoping in his word. Even when as yet now, David's at a place where the Lord hadn't done this for him, as he's praying for the Lord to do, but the Lord is still sustaining him. The Lord is still quickening him to make him ask the Lord to quicken him. The Lord's sustaining him to keep him looking to the Lord. And even when you're in the smoky affliction and the flesh is weak and it's faint and the eyes are weary and can't see, the Lord's inward spirit is going to keep you hoping in his word, keep you longing for him, keep you looking for him, keep you calling on him, keep you waiting on the Lord Jesus. Because we need him to speak. We need him to revive us inwardly. That's what David's asking for. So we don't have any strength in ourselves. That's why David's praying for this. Now, secondly, it was that indwelling of the Lord that kept David looking and longing for the Lord himself. He says there, "I'm looking for thy salvation. Mine eyes fail for thy word. When wilt thou comfort me?" That's what he needed. He needed the Lord. Now, it's certain that David hoped in the written word. We have the promises of God in the written word. But David's looking for the covenant himself. Remember last week we saw where the Lord promised our Lord, and he said, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to give you for a covenant of the people. David's looking for the covenant himself, for the promise himself, the Lord Jesus. Christ, the living word himself, he needed him to speak into his soul. Spurgeon said it this way. He said, besides looking to the book of the Lord, David looked to the Lord of the book, saying, when will you comfort me, Lord? We're thankful for the written word. Read it, meditate in it, pray to God to give you some understanding of it. I mean, constantly, every day. That Christ is the salvation we're looking for in the word. Christ is a salvation we need to speak to us to make the word alive to us in our heart. Christ is the life and strength of the inner man. The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. And Christ is that Spirit. It's his word. It's him speaking that is that Spirit. He said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. That's what David's longing for. David knew his own weakness. He knew his own inability. But he said, I hope in thy word. Yes, he's hoping in the written word of God. But he's hoping in that one who is himself the covenant. He's hoping in that one who is the living word and having him come and save him and speak into his heart and strengthen him. We have the promise when we look into this word. This is what he's promised us. God never faints. We faint, but he never does. This is his promise. He said in Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. We have God's promise in the word that he remembers we're dust. He won't make us faint to the point of perishing. He said, I will not contend forever. Neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit shall fail before me and the souls which I've made. Our Lord Jesus has come down and borne the fierce fury of God's wrath for his people. Now you will go through some serious trials, but the Lord is... And the Lord does call it punishing his child, but it's like a father punishing his child. It's chastening. It's not the fierce fury of God's wrath. He's not going to chasten you to make you perish. His word is going to show us our Savior, that he not only satisfied God for his people. He not only made us everlastingly righteous and put away our sin and satisfied God on our behalf, pleased God on our behalf, so that God's pleased with all them that he brings to believe on his Son. But he also makes you to see how that the Lord has suffered every single thing you are going through. And not only has he risen and lives at God's right hand to intercede for us, but he is also the one who is coming to us and succoring us. That word means comforting us and strengthening us and keeping us walking after him and looking to him alone. And he promises he'll take the burden off at the right time, at the right moment. And it doesn't have anything to do with whatever caused the affliction. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. He gives you something, nothing. It's not about what he's given you outwardly or taken from you outwardly. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. The purpose of affliction is to make us look out of ourselves, away from the world, away from the waves, away from everything that's afflicting us, to Christ himself. That is the purpose of it, to look to Christ himself. He's teaching us to trust him, and he's trusting us to hope against hope in him. That's what Abraham did. That's who he was trusting. He was trusting in the Lord. And so to do this, he's going to bring our strength to nothing. Many times over and over again. You that know him know this. You've experienced it. Is he going to bring you wisdom to nothing? Is he going to bring you plans to nothing? Is he going to bring us to cast all our care on the Lord in prayer? Because that's when we do it. We're like Jonah. Remember what Jonah said? Jonah said, when my soul fainted, when I came to the place where I had no strength, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, Lord, unto thy holy temple. Do a lot of praying. But when you're in that place, then you really pray. And you really pray. But he's going to make us wait, just like he's making David wait. David had to wait. Our Lord waited. Our Lord had to wait. Why does he make us wait? Well, after he makes you wait a little while, he eventually quickens you again. And he increases your patience by that. Because you know the Lord, he's going to quicken me. So next time you're a little more patient. He increases your hope because you have hope in the Lord. He's going to quicken. And he increases your faith. You believe him. I believe he will. He said he would. I believe he will. And he makes good on this promise. He said, he giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. That's who he gives power to, the faint. Spurgeon had a good illustration. He said, it's a foolish thing to come to the fountain with a full bucket. Bucket's got to be empty. You got to come wanting him to fill it all. That's the only one he gives power to is the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He'll renew it in them. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And in a little while, you'll be like David. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, Lord, for I do not forget thy commandments. Can you go astray like a lost sheep? Sin, go astray like a lost sheep. And not forget God's commandments. Yeah, you do it every day. You do it every day. It doesn't mean you don't believe the Lord. You still believe the Lord. You still trust the Lord. But you're honest to go to him and say, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Lord, I'm faint. I have no power. Quicken me with your word. Quicken me with your word. And that renewed strength is going to be by the Lord speaking. By him speaking to you inwardly. Through his word. Through his gospel. And that smoke that's going to make your flesh shrink like a bottle in the smoke. It's going to make you black and sooty outwardly like a bottle in the smoke. But the same way that he spoke and shined the light in that first hour and made you behold God's glory in his face. That's what he's going to do when you're in the smoky affliction. And so the same thing's going to happen again. The outward man's going to perish, but he's going to renew the inward man day by day. It's what he keeps doing. It's what he keeps doing for his people. Now look here thirdly at this. The reason David looked to the Lord, because our Redeemer commanded us to look to him. In the midst of the affliction, the Lord gave David strength enough not to forget the Lord's statutes. There are the statutes of his commands. Christ commands his child at all times, look unto me and be ye saved. That's foolishness to a man that's got it all figured out. We've heard all that. Look unto me and be saved. Best thing that could happen for you is to God bring you to a place where you have absolutely no strength and actually can own it and realize, Lord, I need you to save me. Best thing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's his precept to his child. But he'll have to hem us in. He'll have to hem us in between them two idol rocks in the Red Sea and have Pharaoh's army bailing down on us to where you can't do a thing. And then he speaks and says, stand still. see the salvation of the Lord. He says, abide in me, for without me you can do nothing. We start feeling strong. We start looking at our accomplishments. We start looking to self. What did you first come to Christ with? What experiences did you have when you first came to Him? What works did you have when you first came to Him? What was it you brought to Him when you first came to Him? Not a thing. Just your sin. Just your black sootiness like a bottle in the smoke. He brings you again. Stop leaning on your own arm. Stop looking to yourself. Stop looking to others for wisdom. He sends that smoky affliction, and He just waits until you're just dried up, until you're just covered over in soot and like a bottle in the smoke. And then you cry to Him alone. It's real simple. You cry to Him alone. And then by the Spirit of our Lord, David did what our Savior commanded. He spake a parable to them to this end. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's our Lord's precept to us. There's David fainting. He knows there's only one place to find help. Call on the Lord. And so he does what the Lord told Peter to do. He casts all his care on the Lord, trusting He careth for you. Then there's these statutes of promise. David didn't forget the promise of God. Our Lord gives this command and this promise. He says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. That's a precept of the Lord. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. That's a promise. He will strengthen your heart. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. That's a promise. So if you're in the midst of any kind of affliction, and yet Christ is still your salvation, and He's still your hope in the darkness, in all the smoke, when your eyes can't see, and your flesh is wearied, and your soul's fainting, and yet you're hoping in Him, and you're trusting in Him, and you're calling on Him, the same as before you came into the trouble. The Spirit's the only one it works at. So be assured, if you're in trouble and He's still your hope, and He's still your comfort, He's still your salvation, when He's all you got, then you know the Lord worked that. The Lord worked that. Cleave to your Master in the smoke. He will increase you in faith. He'll increase you in hope. He'll increase you in love. You're going to receive nothing but profit from what He's doing for you. Nothing but profit. Say this to your own self. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He's the health of my countenance. That inward countenance. That's my God. Christ didn't forget the Lord's statutes in that when He trusted His enemies to the Lord, and the Lord made David do the same thing. Look here in verse 84. Now hear Christ speaking, first of all, but David, it applies to David. How many are the days of thy servant? He's saying, my days are few. I'm perishing here, is what he's saying. When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. The Pharisees dig pits for our Lord Jesus. They were continually trying to entangle Him in His words. They were accusing Him constantly. Our Lord Jesus was persecuted wrongly. He knew no sin, did no sin whatsoever. But the Pharisees and those that did this only did what the Lord determined before to be done. They were doing exactly what God purposed from eternity for them to do. So how was it that they persecuted our Lord wrongly when they were doing exactly what God purposed for them to do? And then what about David? David had sinned. God had corrected him. God had drew him to himself, brought him to repentance, given him faith, corrected him. And then the Lord told David, the sword will not leave your house, David. You murdered Uriah. You committed adultery with Bathsheba. You're going to suffer the sword in your house the rest of your days. So the men that did what God determined before to be done to David, the Lord said, David said, the Lord sent Shimei. And he's Absalom and all the men that were after him and persecuting him, trying to entangle him, they were just doing what the Lord determined before to be done. And David had sinned. That's why it was coming about. Why does David say they're persecuting him wrongly? God was ruling it, but the men that were doing it from the pride of their own hearts. It was their own prideful hearts to try to entangle our Lord and try to entangle David. And it wasn't after the commandment. One, it's forbidden in God's law to dig a pit for a man's beast, for another man's beast to fall into. It's much worse to do it for a man, to dig a pit for a man, to try to entrap him and entangle him. Christ teaches us to love our brethren, even our enemies. Christ teaches us to trust our enemies to God and pray for them. Pray for them. I mean, pray for them. He said, forgive those that trespass against us, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And two, this is another reason they were persecuting our Lord wrongly and they persecuted David wrongly. Though men only did to Christ and they only did to David what God determined before to be done, they were taking to themselves the authority that belonged to God. And they were taking to themselves the authority that belonged to our Lord Jesus in dealing with David and the other disciples and apostles. You know, if your child sinned against you and you corrected them and you turned them to you and they're following you, what would you think of it if some man come along and snatched up your child and gave him a spanking? You'd think that was proud, perverse dealing. And it would be, because that's your child. That's not their child. God's the father of his children. Christ is the master who makes us to stand. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. We see that with David right here. With David right here. Look at the blessing the Lord worked this in David. Even using these men, laying these traps for him, and he said, I was almost a goner. But look where the Lord brought him right here. This is his master doing this. This is David's father doing this right here. Look where he brought him. At the end of that verse, he said, help thou me. Help thou me. Oh, I'm telling you, that's prayer. That's prayer. That is true prayer. Simple, dependent. That's why God sent the persecutors to David. That's why he sent them to David and to all his people. It's to bring David to cry, help thou me. Help thou me. Proud men don't like to hear that because it just enrages them with their pride because it's a blow to their pride. Well, you do what David did. You come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, here's the lesson that God taught David. We've seen this over and over. We're going to see it over and over again. Here's the lesson God taught David. Verse 87, he said, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not their precepts. That's what we've been looking at. And David asked God, That's all it did. It made David go to God. It made him go to his Lord. It made him cry out more for his Lord to do for him exactly what he did in his trial. He quickened me. That's what he did. That's the only reason David's calling on him. That's why he's crying to him. The Lord quickened him, and it made him ask him to continue to do it for him in the future. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. That word there, almost, that's gold. That's a golden word. Almost. Precious saving grace is in that word, almost. God may allow us to be afflicted. He may let you almost be consumed, but he has set the time and he set the limit. And he'll quicken you in your heart, bring you to hope in the Lord, and all will be well. Listen to David. This is from Psalm 3:2, and you can apply this to our Lord Jesus too. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. That's what the Lord's doing for us, brethren. He's bringing us to stop fearing men and to fear our Lord more and more. And trust him and call on him and depend on him utterly in everything. So, child of God, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Trust him. Commit it to him. Trust him. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and he's their shield. Is that too simple? I'm pretty dumb. I need it to be simple. Everybody can understand. Go to the Lord and ask, help thou, Lord. That's what we need. That's what we need. For everything. I pray the Lord make us hear that and give us a quickening grace to do so. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, you've taught us to pray and ask for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, you've taught us to do it as we forgive others. And we need you to strengthen us, Lord, to hold our sin and come to you confessing it. We need you, Lord, to strengthen us to forgive others and pray for our enemies and do for those that are not like us. Lord, keep us humble by your affliction. Lord, it's good if you make us like a bottle in the smoke, if you quicken us inwardly, fill us with the wine of your gospel, the wine of your grace. Lord, we need you. Speak your word to us. Cause us to cease leaning to our own arm and our own wisdom. Cause us to stop leaning to the wisdom of others and leaning on the arm of others. Make us commit all to you, Lord, and trust you. Have all our hope in you that you will indeed bring it to pass. Lord, help your people everywhere to do so. Help us to love as you've loved us. Don't let us lay traps. Don't let us deal so proudly, Lord. Keep us trusting and believing and following after our Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we ask it, Lord. Amen.